Hey everyone, it's Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you to this video. This is our fourth video in our recent mini-series, Responding to Truth Time Radio. If you haven't already watched the lesson on the history teacher Barks Back and the first two videos on Noah Webster, I would strongly urge you to turn this video off and go watch those before proceeding any further with this video, because all of these are designed to sort of build on each other. Want to welcome you to our YouTube channel here, Grace Life Bible on YouTube. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, as well as when we create content for you here midweek, we would certainly appreciate that. Our featured book for the time being is my book, From This Generation Forever, Volume 1, Inspiration. This is a 340-page book, the first 27 lessons of my adult Sunday school class, From This Generation Forever, specifically focused on the doctrine of inspiration. So if you haven't already done so, if you consider checking that book out, we would certainly appreciate that as well. And also, our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble, we established this last year as an alt-text site to YouTube. Should something happen to our YouTube ministry, and we would appreciate you joining us there as well if you're into alt-text sites or would like an alternative to YouTube. So this is the fourth video in my series here of Responding to Truth Time Radio. And what I want to do here, in the previous video, I went through the argumentation that Truth Time Radio utilized in their blog on Noah Webster. Noah Webster, the Calvinist King James Bible corrector. And we looked at the nature of the argumentation, and we saw that the main goal of the blog article is to undermine Webster's American Dictionary, to falsify it, to cause people to question. They compared it to a broken clock and said that it's basically only right, you know, two times a day. And they used the false equivalence fallacy and a bunch of other things that we covered in the last video. So I don't want to repeat all that. But at the end of the video, I said, why would True Time Radio want to do this? Why would they want to undermine the dictionary? And I'm going to give you what I believe is the reason for that, all right, in this video, as we're going to look at some things about the history and usage of the word justification and how it fits into this sort of greater conversation or discussion that is taking place out there related to forgiveness of sins, etc. Now, what I have up here on the screen, this is the first I was made aware of the position held by Truth Time Radio in the spring, early summer of the year 2013, as you can see here, right? I began reading some things on Facebook at the time, and I'm like, "This, what is this? I've never heard of this before." But let me be clear. At the time, I had never, I had heard of Truth Time Radio, but I was not aware that Truth Time Radio held to this particular position on forgiveness. Again, and that position is that all the world, excuse me, is forgiven. They just don't know it. And so they're already forgiven and reconciled. They just don't know it, but they're not justified. So they need to believe Paul's gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4, in order to be justified. Okay. And so I first started interacting with this in 2013 in a public way. This is the first public lesson I taught. These are my notes. These are on the Grace Life Bible Church webpage. I'll put a link to this in the description for the video. But I want to scroll down here and show you from the very beginning of dealing with this topic, all right, I got into the defining of words. And so understand, I've taken the opposite position of Truth Time Radio and have from the beginning. And I used Strong's Concordance and I used Webster's Dictionary, American Dictionary of the English Language, as you can see here, from very early on to define words that were pertinent to this discussion. And of course, you know, I've committed the cardinal unpardonable sin there by, you know, even looking at something in Greek or looking something up in a dictionary. And so the motivation, my point in bringing this up is to show that from very early on in the conversation, Webster's Dictionary was factoring heavy into the defining of words and how people were understanding words, not just me, but you can see here that I did that in this video, all right? Then as time went on, in January 2018, So this is a number of years into the greater debate that was happening about this issue. I made this blog post on January 11, 2018. I've been watching the debate among Pauline right dividers regarding whether or not everyone is automatically forgiven since 2013. Those who argue that all sin was forgiven 2,000 years ago will say there's a difference between forgiveness and justification, like I said a moment ago. Those articulating this position assert that all sin was forgiven at the cross, but one must trust Paul's gospel in order to be justified. This is a misuse of the word justification. Now here we see it. Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, 1828, defines the word justification as follows. In theology, remission of sins and absolution of guilt and punishment, or an act of free grace by which God pardons the sinner and accepts him as righteous on account of the atonement of Christ. So you can see that Noah Webster here, and we'll jump on here too, you see it right here in the dictionary, you can see that he is defining justification as remission of sin. All right, let's go back to my article. The very same dictionary defines the word remission as follows. Forgiveness, pardon, that is, the giving up of the punishment due to a crime as the remission of sins. So you can see that here, remission, forgiveness, pardon, that is, the giving up of the punishment due to a crime as the remission of sins. So what we see here is that Webster is defining justification as remission of sins. Remission of sins is defined as forgiveness. So justification is forgiveness, yet the way this says, according to Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, these are how the words are being defined. And so you can see that this would naturally create a problem for Truth Time Radio's position. It is therefore a contradiction to assert that one is forgiven but not justified. According to the meaning of English words, one cannot be forgiven without being justified, because to be justified means to be forgiven. This, of course, means that for the sake of consistency, if one is going to assert that all are forgiven, they must also assert all are justified. If all are automatically justified, that is universal justification. The razor's edge is a dangerous place to be. So what I was saying there is, this is a misuse of terms. To say that you can be forgiven and not justified is to confound and not understand properly the meaning of the word justification. Because justification means forgiveness of sins. All right. Now you can see here that this was all sort of teed up by using Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language. So I think for these reasons, Truth Time Radio has a vested interest in trying to undermine the confidence that people have in Webster's ability to define English words. And so they wrote the blog post to cast aspersion on Webster and to misdirect, because if Webster's definitions are allowed to stand, then Truth Time Radio is teaching universal justification by meaning and definition of what the words mean. All right. Now, that said, we need to look at the history of the word justification. Now, Truth Time Radio has said in their March 20 blog on what happens when you put a history teacher above the Word of God, that they're interested in 17th century etymology and the meaning of words, etc. Although, as I proved in the History Teacher Barks Back video, they totally ignore all of the relevant data that would falsify their position. But I think the reason why they want to undermine Webster is related to what I have here on the screen and the meanings of the words. Now, what we need to do is we need to look at other information to see if Noah Webster knew what he was talking about. All right. So let's jump on here into the OED and let's look at a few things. All right. So here we have the OED definition for justify. All right. And we can show the whole thing. And we can see here that this is related to the issue. Let's look at the first definition, chiefly theology, transitive, justify, to absolve, to declare to be innocent or righteous, to cause to be free from the penalty of sin on the grounds of Christ's righteousness or by the infusion of grace. So is OED connecting the issue of, is OED connecting the issue of being free from the penalty of sin with the issue of justify? All right. You can come up here into the etymology and you can see to declare a person to be innocent or righteous, to absolve a person. It's originally from Old French and frequently in a theological context, all right? So the OED is connecting the idea of justify with the idea of being declared to be free from the penalty of sin. Now, we can also go here now and look at Middle English. So let's also go in here and look at the Middle English Dictionary and look at the definitions here of justify. Look at 5b. Of God to absolve the sinner by his free gift of divine forgiveness and grace, and for man's faith in Christ also to win God's grace. All right. So the Middle English Dictionary is connecting the word justify with the idea of forgiveness of sins. Now we can look also here at the meaning and usage examples, and we need to look at B. Look at, this is the Wycliffe Bible. This is from the 1380s. That he, God, be just and justifying him that is of faith in faith of Jesus Christ. So in Middle English, the word justify is the idea of forgiveness of sins. And then there are examples given. So again, of God to absolve the sinner and by the free gift of divine grace, forgiveness. Wycliffe is using the word, Romans 3:28. We, and so this is Middle English, so it's a little hard to make some of it out, but you can see what's going on here. We deem a man for to be justified by faith without the works of the law. So the word justify, going all the way back to Wycliffe's time in the 1380s, is a Middle English word that is related to the issue of forgiveness of sins, all right? Let's look at justified in the OED. Look at justified in the OED. To be declared to be righteous in the eyes of God, see justification. And then we can also look at the verb form of the word, chiefly theology, Christian church, transitive, to absolve, to declare to be innocent or righteous, to cause or declare to be free from the penalty of sin. So it just recalibrates to justify. All right. So to justify, OED, justified means and is related to the issue of being freed from sin. Let's look at justification. Look at justification, and let's call this up here and notice what it says. Meaning, number one, theology, Christian church, the action whereby human beings are freed from the penalty of sin and accounted or made righteous by God, the fact or condition of being justified in the eyes of God. So the OED here is again connecting the idea of justification with the action whereby human beings are freed from the penalty of sin. So justification is related to the forgiveness of sins, according to the OED. So it seems like maybe Noel Webster knew what he was talking about, but we need to look at some more things here before we can make that determination. Now, we can look at justification in the Middle English Dictionary. Let's look at justification in the Middle English Dictionary and notice what it says. We want, right here, administration of justice, that's A. B, correction. Look at E, God's act of imparting forgiveness and grace to man and absolving man of his sins. That is how the OED, that is how the Middle English Dictionary is defining. And then we can come in here and look again at the examples. And again, we see Wycliffe from the 1380s, Romans 5:16, talking here about justification. So justification means and has meant since at least the time of John Wycliffe, God's act of imparting forgiveness and grace to men. So justification is forgiveness. Justification is how God imparts forgiveness. But the position that is being enunciated by True Time Radio sees these as two distinct things. That you're forgiven, but you're not justified until you trust Paul's gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4. This is a misuse of terms. You cannot be forgiven without being justified. They are synonymous with each other. We are showing this now from the OED. We're going all the way back now into the Middle English Dictionary and showing you the historical meaning and usage of words going all the way back now to the 1380s and the time of John Wycliffe. Okay? So listen, folks, when the King James Bible translators use the word justify, justified, justification, justifieth, they are using a word, an English word of established meaning, long established English meaning, to capture the understanding into our language of what the original language text said. The word justified and justification are related to the forgiveness of sins and have been since the time of John Wycliffe. All right. Now, what about the reformers? We could go to Martin Luther. This is Martin Luther's 1520 work, The Freedom of a Christian. Martin Luther obviously is the first luminary of the Protestant Reformation. Now, I don't advocate or agree with everything Luther says. I think there's quite a few things Luther got wrong. But Luther's primary stance against Rome was on the issue of justification by faith alone, by grace through faith alone, through the atoning substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Luther says in The Freedom of a Christian from 1520. Therefore, when we begin to believe, you discover at the same time that everything in you is completely blameworthy, damnable sins, as Romans 3:23 states, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 3:10 through 12, there is none who is righteous, no one does good, all have turned aside, altogether they have done worthless things. So understand, this is a translation of German. So the intention here is not that it reads exactly as the King James, so don't get tripped up by that. By this knowledge, you will realize that you need, so by the knowledge of your sin, Luther is saying, you will realize that you need Christ, who suffered and rose again for you, in order that believing in him, you may become another human being by this faith, because all your sins are forgiven and you are justified by another man's merits, namely by Christ alone. So Luther believed that until you trusted the atoning death of Christ, his sacrificial death that he suffered and rose again for you, you were yet in your sins and you needed to be forgiven. You needed to be justified, and your sins are forgiven and you are justified when you by faith alone trust in the work of Christ alone. This is what Luther was saying. Luther understood and used the word justification, or the German equivalent, as a reference to the forgiveness of sins, just like we saw Wycliffe do. Well, what about William Tyndale? What about William Tyndale? So this is 1520. So on this track with me, I've shown you from the 1340s with Wycliffe. Now we've seen 1520 with Luther. Let's look at a work written by William Tyndale from 1535 called The Testament of William Tracy Expounded. I don't have time to get into all the backstory of this particular piece written by William Tyndale, but let's jump right into what I want to show you. This is William Tyndale, the great English illuminary of the Protestant Reformation, the first person to take the preserved Greek and translate it into English, the gentleman who wrote the rough draft of the King James Bible. He says, faith justifieth thee. Faith justifieth thee. That is, bringeth remission of all sins and setteth thee in the state of grace before all works, and getteth thee power to work before thou couldst work. He is defining and using faith justifieth thee, that is, bringeth the remission of all sins. So how does William Tyndale understand the word justification? He understands the word justification or justified to be the thing that brings remission of all sins. William Tyndale did not believe that everyone was forgiven at the cross, that they just didn't know it, and that they just needed to be justified. That is not how he is using the word. So we've seen Wycliffe, we've seen Luther, we've seen Tyndale now. all using the word the same way, the very same way that Noah Webster defined the word justification in his dictionary. All right. So let's go on. We could look at a work from 1569, An Apostle or Exposition of the Gospels, by this gentleman, Niels Hemmingsen. This is for, and by the way, this is from our friend, the Lexicons of Early Modern English, one of the resources that we shared in our video from April 7, where we were talking about the issue of regeneration and looking at the etymological research. We showed this, we used this database and showed many examples of the meaning of that word that True Time Radio just completely ignored in their History Teacher Bark's back blog, but we've already discussed that. Notice justified, found righteous, made righteous, accounted as accepted for righteousness, that is to say, free and clear from sin and set free from sin and the penalty thereof. This gentleman in 1569 is using the word justified to talk about forgiveness of sin, to be set free from sin, to be cleansed from sin, to be free from the penalty of sin. He is not using the word, he is connecting the word to the issue of the forgiveness of sins. Let's look at another interesting tidbit. This is from 1570. This is by David, and I can't pronounce his name, but this is Apostle of Orderly Dispensing of Certain Epistles, and notice what he says. First, what is justification? Is a riddance of a man out of the power of darkness, sin, and death, or it is to the forgiveness of sins and the adopting us to be the sons of God and a partnership with the saints in light. So how is this gentleman using, defining, and understanding the word justification? Exactly the same way Webster defined it in his dictionary. I am convinced that the reason why True Time Radio feels it needs to besmirch and undermine Webster is to get rid of or call into question the definitions that Webster is using. Because if those definitions are allowed to stand, they have a major problem for their theological system. But here we've seen now many, many, many examples over centuries of English usage that are using the word justification and connecting it to the idea of the forgiveness of sins. Well, what about the King James translators? Well, that's a great question. I'm glad you guys asked me that question, because what we have here is this is a sermon preached by John Reynolds called The Exposition of Haggai from 1589. John Reynolds, again, if you're not familiar with him, he is the gentleman who at the Hampton Court Conference in 1604 first floated to King James the idea of there being a new Bible. John Reynolds, the King James Bible is literally, you could argue, the brainchild of John Reynolds. John Reynolds floats the idea at Hampton Court, and for reasons we can't get into or don't have time in this video, King James accepts that proposition. Reynolds was a translator who served on the translational committee, but he did pass away, I believe it's in either 1608 or 1609, before the project was finished, but he definitely served on the committee. This is a sermon that he preached from 1589 called The Exposition of Haggai. Let's look at what he says, okay? A curse heretically and blasphemy uttered by the anti-Christian imputes, let's go right here, okay? For all works done without faith are unclean in God's sight, as here Haggai teacheth us. But before in justification, no works are done by faith, for then we are justified and made the sons of God when we believe. Therefore, whatever works are done before in justification are properly unclean and do defile, and whatsoever is unclean doth defile is properly sin. John Reynolds believed that a man was under sin until he was justified. All right? Down here. Ye all works done in justification are properly sin and deserve God's wrath, nor can they be pure whilst the heart, The root or fountain whence they produced is impure and corrupt. Now the heart is only purified by faith. And all unbelievers, even in their minds and conscience. And I get into some stuff here about the papists, but you can see that John Reynolds, the great one of the great translators of the King James Bible, he believed that before somebody was justified, they were in their sin. And everything they tried to do to earn God's favor was unclean and properly sin, according to John Reynolds. And this is the way he is using the word justification. Now, but, you know, John Reynolds was a Calvinist. So therefore he doesn't know what he's talking about. John Reynolds was he believed he was born again. So he doubly doesn't know what he was talking about, because here we have another born again Calvinist telling us that the word justification means or is associated with the forgiveness of sins. But, you know, we need to just ignore that, because he can't be right, because he was a Calvinist. So goes the argumentation of Truth Time Radio. We can go to the year 1600. We can go to the year 1600 and look at this sermon here by Lancelot Andrews. Lancelot Andrews was another one of the translators on the King James Bible. How does he understand the word justify? A power to justify. Ye are justified in the name of Christ, saith St. Paul. A power for remission of sins. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. A power to save, and such is the name here marked, Jehovah, our righteousness, to justify, to forgive us our sins, to give us salvation. But, you know, Lancelot Andrews believed he was born again, so he clearly is unqualified to define the word justification. Folks, there's a motive here behind the Webster article. And it is to falsify Webster. It is to call into question Webster. It is to make you think that he's like a broken clock and he's only right twice a day because he was a terrible Calvinist and he believed he was born again. Oh, and he corrected the King James Bible, according to True Time Radio. Now, again, I said in the last video, I don't approve of Webster's changes. But to argue on that basis that that his dictionary is out of play is not good argumentation. And the motivation is, again, all of these resources. So let's take stock. We got two more. I'm getting ahead of myself. We got three more. Here's the table alphabetical from 1604. Again, another primary source document for the meaning and usage of words during the time period that the translation was taking place. Notice justified right here. Made or accounted for righteousness, clean from sin. You are not clean from sin until you are justified. So to say that you're forgiven but not justified is to confound the meaning of these words. Then we can look at let's take stock so far. We've looked at Wycliffe from the 1380s. We've looked at Luther from 1520. We've looked at Tyndale from 1535. We've looked at works from 1569, 1570. We looked at a sermon by a translator from 1589, from John Reynolds. We looked at another sermon from a translator by Lancelot Andrews from 1600. We have on the screen right here the table alphabetical from 1604. Now I'm going to show you a Christian dictionary by Thomas Wilson from 1612. Here's the entry from Justify: to absolve and acquit one that is accused from the crime wherein he was charged. Okay. Number two, to absolve and acquit a sinner which believes from the guilt and punishment of all his sin, and to pronounce him righteous before the tribunal seat of God through the impartation of Christ's righteousness to his faith. Again, defining justify as forgiveness of sins. And last, again from Thomas Wilson's A Christian Dictionary from 1612, justification, forgiveness of sins by the suffering of Christ and imputation of justice by his obedience to the believer. Clearly defines it. So justification equaled forgiveness for over 200 years before the King James Bible. Wycliffe used it this way. Luther used it this way. I left Calvin out because that would obviously be a problem. Tyndale used it this way. All these resources that I've showed you here from the lexicons of early modern English, they all catalog usages this way. The table alphabetical uses this way. Two translators use these words these way. So by the time we get to what Webster puts together here in 1828, is Webster just recording a more than 300-year, almost 400-year meaning and usage in English of the word justification. So I think we need to take stock of this. This is the motivation, I believe, for why you would want to falsify Webster's dictionary. But I've just showed you a massive swath, and this is just a little bit of the stuff. I just picked out the best examples that I could show on this video, because otherwise it would just be too long. But one, listen, folks, one cannot be forgiven without being justified by definition of what these words mean. Okay? One cannot be forgiven without being justified. Universal forgiveness. Now, True Time Radio likes to paint their opponents as, quote, limited forgivers. But they're espousing universal forgiveness. One cannot be forgiven without being justified. So universal forgiveness equals universal justification by meaning and definition of what the words mean. Universal justification. If everyone is universally justified, that is universal salvation, whether Truth Time Radio wants to admit it or not. It is de facto universalism by definition and meaning of words. Now, in order to prove this false, Truth Time Radio is going to have to go back through all the resource and data that I have just shared in this video, and they are going to have to falsify it. They're going to have to prove why all the data points and research that I just showed in this video are false. And not only are they going to have to falsify it, but they're going to have to replace it with their own positive etymology and word meaning in order to save their enterprise. Universal forgiveness equals universal justification by meaning and definition of what the words mean, which is equals universal salvation. If everyone is forgiven and justification means to be forgiven, then that means everyone is justified by meaning and usage of the word, then that means everybody is saved, universal salvation. Now, they're going to cry foul. They're going to say that, you know, well, here's what they've done. You're a terrible sinner if you look at a Greek word, which says to me, where does True Time Radio believe the King James Bible came from in the first place? Their beloved translators were Calvinists, baptized infants. I love the translators too, by the way, but they were Calvinists. They baptized infants. They believed they were born again, and they believed that justification equals forgiveness. So, the motivation is to get rid of Webster's dictionary so that they can define these things themselves. You're not allowed to look at Greek. You're not allowed, or it's extremely questioned if you look at a dictionary, okay? And you have to just sort of, you know, go along with however they decide to privately define a word out of the King James Bible. I've gone through this now on regeneration. We've gone through it now on justification. The motivation behind the Webster article is to undermine this book, Webster Dictionary, as a resource for defining words. Okay. I don't know anybody who is holding to Webster as the final authority. I don't need to hold the Webster as the final authority when I have piles of evidence as to the meaning and usage of the word justification that Webster knew and had access to when he wrote that definition in 1828. So Universal forgiveness equals universal justification equals universal salvation. Now, these are points that I have discussed also in a Facebook post from July 13, 2013, where I talk about Rob Bell's 2005 book, The Velvet Elvis. In The Velvet Elvis, Rob Bell argues that, here it is, so this reality, this forgiveness, this reconciliation is true for everyone. Paul insisted that when Jesus died on the cross, he was reconciling all things in heaven and earth to God, all things everywhere. This reality then isn't something that we make true about ourselves by doing something. It is already true. Our choice to live in the new reality and cling to the reality of our making. And this reality extends beyond this life. Heaven is full of forgiven people. Hell is full of forgiven people. Heaven is full of people God loves, whom Jesus died for. Hell is full of people God loves, whom Jesus died for. While we agree with Mr. Bell that hell is full of people whom God loves and for whom Christ died, we must disagree with both Bell and the new reconciliationists that heaven is full of forgiven people. New reconciliationism, by the way, is a term that I coined back in 2013 when this was being discussed. In 2011, Rob Bell created a stir in Christendom when he came out in favor of full-blown universalism with the publication of Love Wins. It appears that Bell's 2005 views on reconciliation were a stepping stone towards the complete denial of hell or any form of eternal punishment in 2011. What Bell did in Love Wins is follow his views from Velvet Elvis through to their logical conclusion. Hell is full of forgiven people. If hell is full of forgiven people, what is the purpose of hell? Why would God send anyone to hell with their sins forgiven? Put another way, what is the purpose of hell if everyone is already forgiven? Logically, according to his paradigm, Bell concluded that there is no purpose for hell because the entire world is already forgiven and reconciled to God. While we do not agree with Bell's expositions, 2005 or 2011, at least we can respect him for having the courage of his convictions to carry them through to their logical conclusion. Folks, you cannot have universal forgiveness without having universal justification. And universal justification equals universalism. This is not a small matter. And I want to go and end here. November 2018. Thoughts on the forgiveness discussion. There has been much ugliness exchanged between believers on the topic of late, and this is unfortunate, but it is because of the nature of what is at stake, Paul's gospel itself. There are many of us who don't understand this to be a six of one, half a dozen of another sort of topic. What one believes about this matter impacts their understanding of Paul's gospel and what they tell lost people regarding how to be saved. Many say sin was dealt with 2,000 years ago, but what do they mean when they say this? I would agree that sin was dealt with 2,000 years ago if by dealt with they mean paid for. And again, I have caps here because that's the only way I could emphasize. I'm not yelling here. It's the only way you can emphasize at the time on Facebook. However, if by dealt with one means automatically forgiven, I would strongly disagree. Belief in the following three points is a theological non-starter for many mid-Acts Pauline rightly dividing dispensationalists. Number one, the idea of the forgiven and reconciled lost, i.e. the notion that lost people who have never trusted 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 are forgiven and reconciled. Number two, the idea that the lost are born into the world in a state of forgiveness. And number three, the doctrine that forgiven people go to hell and or suffer eternal punishment. And I'll add a fourth that I talked about on my video on the history teacher Bart's back in this series. The idea that forgiven and reconciled people miss the rapture because they haven't believed 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. What one believes about these points impacts their ministry in a practical way. Does one tell a lost man that they are already forgiven but need to trust Paul's gospel to be justified, as though forgiveness and justification are wholly different things? Or does one tell a lost man that they are dead in trespasses and sins with the wrath of God abiding upon them And then they need to trust the finished work of Christ in order to be forgiven and reconciled to God. Whichever approach one takes, it is clear that both parties are not in agreement as to the fundamental problem facing mankind. Therefore, their approach to dealing with the lost will be fundamentally different. This difference will result in the preaching of different gospels to the lost, even though the difference may appear to be only slight, where the rubber meets the road in the this is where the rubber meets the road in the practicality of the debate. Therefore, for these reasons, this topic will continue to be a hot button issue. It deals with the most fundamentally basic issue of our faith. What is Paul's gospel? So look, folks, the razor's edge is a dangerous place to be. It's an extremely dangerous place to be. If there is a contradiction, if it is therefore a contradiction to assert that one is forgiven and not justified. According to the meaning of English Warren's, one cannot be forgiven without being justified, because to be justified means to be forgiven. Exactly as Webster defined the word, exactly as Wycliffe, Luther, Tyndall, Reynolds, Andrews, all the data that I showed you in this video would suggest and prove. This, of course, means that for the sake of consistency, if one is going to assert that all are forgiven, they must also assert that all are justified. If all are automatically justified, that is universal justification. The razor's edge is a dangerous place to be. All sins are paid for. But one must trust Paul's gospel in order to receive justification, i.e., the forgiveness of sins as a free gift. The reason I believe that Truth Time Radio wrote the Webster blog is an attempt to falsify the meaning of words in Webster's dictionary. Either the way a dictionary works, if you're going to say that a definition in here is wrong, you have to show where Webster misdefined it according to early 19th century standards, not through your own private methodologies of interpreting and defining words. So, that sort of brings me to an end of my analysis of this topic. I'm going to make one final conclusory video in this series dealing with or responding to Truth Time Radio, where I'm going to talk about the tactics and what you can expect. You cannot be forgiven without being justified. If you are going to disagree with that, you have to falsify all the data that I've shared in this video. And again, I've just showed you a minor amount, a paltry amount, a minuscule amount of what could be shown about the meaning and usage of these words. And you are going to have to say that all of these men, all of them, Wycliffe, Luther, Tyndall, Reynolds, Lancelot Andrews, the Table Alphabetical, Thomas Wilson in the Christian Dictionary, I didn't even get into it, but Samuel Johnson in his Dictionary of the English Language, Noah Webster, none of these guys had a hill of beans understanding of the meaning of the word justification. But by all means, we can trust the definitions that Truth Time Radio has given us. Folks, the reason this is an important issue is because the very nature of Paul's gospel is at stake. And that gospel is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. When you by faith trust that gospel, he will give you eternal life as a free gift. He will forgive your sins. You will be justified. No one is born into the world into a state of forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:19 is dispensational. It is talking about what God was doing. If God imputed his wrath to Christ on the cross so that he could form the church, the body of Christ, so that he could withhold the wrath. When Stephen sees Christ standing in Acts 7 at the right hand of God, he is fixing prophetically to come back and pour out his wrath. Instead of doing that, instead of executing and hitting the engage switch on the wrath of God, the Godhead did something that shocked the entire universe, including Satan himself. He saved the chief of sinners, and he began to form the church, the body of Christ. God's not imputing sin to the world is a dispensational issue. That is not an individual issue. We have said that time and again in all of the resources that we have created interacting with these ideas. I will share all of them again in the description for this video. Thanks for your attention. We'll see you next time.